Good evening, everyone. Merry Christmas. It's Friday night. This is the last broadcast before the end of the year. My friend Russell Blake is with me, so don't go away. Get your pens and papers out and write down this number, 347-633-9609, so you can call in and ask questions. We're live. This is Pam, your host, and you're listening to Authors on the Air. My friend Russell Blake is with me right now. We're going to brighten up your holiday spirit, get you out of the dumps. Everything's going to be okay. You have questions. We have answers. We're not telling you if they're the right answers or not, but we're going to answer them. In the meantime, Feliz Navidad, Russell. How are you
Feliz
today?
Feliz Navidad, Pamela.
Thank you, sir. And how was your 2016, all in all?
It was, I've got no complaints. I really don't. I, of course, wrote more books than I promised to, and my editor will not
right.
let me forget that. But beyond that,
right.
it's been good.
It's been real good. You know, I have to say the same thing. I mean, other than I took a couple of medical detours that I hadn't expected. Over all in all, it's been a really excellent year, and it's been an excellent year for books, yours included. I am crazy for the Dan books, the Day After Never books. They're so good. I love those books, and I went to Amazon today and was looking at your page, and you know, you're getting a lot of good reviews. Well, your books give you good reviews. There's not a book you've written that you don't have hundreds and thousands of reviews on. Congratulations.
A little exaggeration there, but I like it. Keep
now,
going.
You've got a couple of us that have over 1,000 reviews, so
it's
good on you.
I didn't even pay for.
See that? You know, and they haven't caught you yet. That's the nice thing.
Well, I'm on a budget, so there's a limit.
There you go. So, but you also have another one you're getting ready to release in January, right? February, maybe?
It's probably going to be February. I finished up a book that took longer than I had hoped, you know, because I won't go into all the reasons, but it basically involved the plotting, et cetera, et cetera. So I just finished that up. It's called A Girl Apart, and I don't know when I'm going to release it. It's at the editor's. But it kind of, you know, there's this type of story pattern that's always fascinated me, where if you pull it off mm-hmm. well, everything the reader doesn't really understand or know what the story is about until the last chapter or two, but
right.
they think they do all the way through. But you're totally honest with them. In other words, you're not tricking them. It's a legitimate.
Right.
And the only other book I ever wrote like that was the second book I released was The Geronimo Breach. And I always
right.
wanted to go back and do that again, to try it again. It's really hard to do because you can't let slip, but you also have to be legitimately
right.
honest with the reader. So
right,
that's
right.
why it took forever, basically. You know, it's like very intricately plotted, and it's the first in a new series that features a female journalist, investigative journalist, in her, I think, mid to late 20s. Who's cratered, kind of bottomed out with her career, her love life, everything, and is living in a kind of purgatory, and gets into some stuff over her head.
There you go. It sounds like it's good for our time. You know, it's current and it's trending. So that's.
Well, yeah, and I wanted an investigative journalist because. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there to choose from.
Yeah.
But I figured an investigative journalist
sure.
would be a good feature.
Yeah. Well, it sounds great. One thing I didn't really, you know, you and I have talked about so many different things, and the multiple times that you've been on my show, always have a good time. I'm always glad when you agree to come back. But I don't think I've ever discussed your process of writing, other than the fact that you write really fast. I mean, you knock out a book in 4 to 6 weeks. So, but am I wrong when I thinking that I read that you actually outline a little bit?
Oh no, I've done whole blogs with, you know, my spreadsheet and my sort of kludge together approach. I outline because otherwise it would take me forever to write the book. So I have to figure the whole thing out in advance, because then it's sort of like having a roadmap to get from LA to New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot faster because
right.
you know where you're going. You know how to get there.
Right.
If you allow
right.
the creative process to sort of, you know, oh, I wonder what's going to happen next, you know, I've found that things take 3 to 5 times longer for me to actually write. So I just prefer to do all the hard work up front, figure it out. You know, I'll write like 1 or 2 sentences per chapter. So I, as a reminder, kind of, you know, okay, here's what's going to happen here. And then, you know, mm-hmm. I can look at it in spreadsheet form. I'm anal, it's retentive. I color code the chapters. So I can just at a glance make sure I've got an action beat every, you know, 3 chapters or 4 chapters, or whatever type of beats I need.
Right.
So
right.
it's actually
Unless
fairly
you
involved.
Get, which you have it in every chapter. You know, you've got
well,
to have jet
yeah.
moving and doing stuff in every chapter. So
somebody is trying
saying.
To get jet. That's
yeah. yeah
that's the,
always.
The story.
Right. So I didn't realize that. Does your outline ever change? Do you ever find not the outline? Sorry.
You just dropped out.
While
should
you're
I, should
writing.
I start singing?
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, you dropped
sorry.
Out for about 4 or 5 seconds there.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I can just tell jokes or something whenever you disappear.
You could. If you can't hear me, by all means, start telling jokes.
Okay.
So does your outline or does your story, once you've got the outline done, ever change from your outline? Does it ever deviate? Do you think of a better outline or a better story? Or do you pretty
Boy,
much
wouldn't
stick
that
to
be
the
great.
Script?
Yeah. I almost always stick to the script because, again, I don't really start writing. I mean, here's how the outline started. I figured I'm kind of impatient, so I figured, okay, I'll just outline the first 15 chapters and I'll figure out the, you know, once I start writing it, it'll be easier for me to figure out the next 15 and then the final 15. And then I discovered that, you know, the first 15 flew by and then the rest of it took longer and longer and longer. So I just, you know, about, I don't know, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I just decided to start outlining mm-hmm. the entire book. So now mm-hmm. I've thought through the whole story before I really sit down and start writing. And it allows me to do a lot of, I mean, you know, I can foreshadow things. I can plant clues
sure.
because I know how it's going to end.
Right.
So
do
that's
you always
why
write from chapter one to the end? Do you always
yeah,
write in order?
I don't. Yeah, I can't mix it up. I don't understand people that can. I you know, I
yeah,
get confused when I'm just trying to find the bathroom.
Right? I know. I was worried you wouldn't get here in enough time for the show. Let
Trust
you loose
me,
down
you
the hall
the
and you're gone.
One. You aren't the
I'm
first time that's happened.
Go
but
down
no, so
the hall
I'm fairly orthodox in my approach. I leave enough wiggle room so that there can be some fun spontaneity in there. And I wouldn't hesitate
right.
if I got a better idea to change something as I went along. But
right.
for the most part, you know, if it's boy meets girl, I kind of know how it's going to end before I start. If it's a whodunit,
right.
I kind of know whodunit.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you, you got a great imagination because 5 years, 51 books, going to be 52 in February.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, that's you are nuts. We know that already.
I
so,
know. I'm
going
to have
to
start my own religion or something pretty soon. Cause
you will.
That's where
absolutely.
This winds up. Yeah.
This is true. Okay, so I want to tell everyone, Russell and I are taking your calls tonight. We don't care if you're a writer, if you're a reader. We don't care if you don't know who we are. We're taking your calls, and we're going to give you our best advice on any question you have for us. So the number is 347-633-9609. You want party ideas, you know, cocktail or hors d'oeuvre ideas, let us know. We'll answer those. Wow. Yeah, we're glad to tell you the best party tricks, places to go. You know,
don't,
all
don't
the best
set the
male
bar too
reviews
high.
Shows.
Don't
well,
set the
no,
bar too
I know,
high.
But,
keep it low. Keep expectations
it,
in line with my abilities.
Listen, well, we're not going to go that big, you
okay.
know. And we can always lie because they won't know. All right?
Oh yeah, no, I plan to early and often.
Okay.
I'm reading your blurb here. I've never, you know, I'm on the screen here. Russell will give his sage advice. We might talk about
right.
pets, but we won't talk about politics. Blah blah blah.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't been paying attention. Who won the election?
I have no idea. I'm not paying attention either.
Wow. Okay. So there you go. So
there you go. See,
can't
it was
help
easy,
you there.
Wasn't it? Okay, so let's talk about pets then. How are your boys doing?
Well, Max is, you know, he looks like a polar bear with a Labrador head on him, and I've got him on a diet of green beans and diet food, which, you know, he gives me the side eye constantly now and just hates
I'm
me
sure.
for it. But yeah.
Sure.
And then my other guy, Duke, he tore a ligament in his ankle, so he's been limping around for 2 months, and I've had three different sort of braces on him, et cetera, et cetera. None of it's worked, of course. We're going to have to take him in and probably have surgery on him top of next year, maybe February, March.
How old are your boys?
7 and 8.
Okay,
so
they
still got some runway left. I mean, they should still,
oh,
you know,
I'm sure
Duke
they
certainly.
Do.
He should go, you know, I'm hoping in the 13, 14s, and Max, you know, who knows?
Absolutely.
May surprise everybody.
Right. Right.
I mean, if he
lives
as long. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, if he lives as long, if food intake is directly proportionate to longevity, Max is going to outlive me, although that's not really going to be hard, but he'll still be going 20 years from now.
Good for you. Well, I have, I'm the cat lady, so I've got 5 rescues, and
wow.
Mine, they're getting all big and fat and sassy and happy, so that's good there, you know. If anybody wants advice on pets, let us know. We're glad to go ahead and dispense advice. We're not saying
no, most that of it will
veterinary.
Be wrong. Anything I say will
wrong.
Probably be incorrect.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Like feed your dog plenty of chocolate
eating.
And onions. They love that.
Right. Well, listen,
sure.
My cats eat pizza, so, you know, what can I say?
okay.
All right, so let's chat about other things. What are your plans for the holidays? Are you staying in town? Are you leaving again?
Yeah,
I mean, at one point, you were going on a trip with one of our author buddies, right?
Yeah, I'm not really going to talk about that, but yeah, I'm going to
okay.
some exotic places after the first of
How
the year.
Fun.
I'm going to be hanging out, rubbing
How
shoulders
fun.
With the hoi polloi. Other than that, I'm just planning
great.
On the usual holiday, you know, problem drinking,
right.
probably a couple of assault charges against me, at least one
there
restraining
you.
Order.
There
just
you
imagine
okay, so
Hunter S.
Be-
Thompson gets together with Johnny Depp and a couple balls of tequila and see what happens next. That's what Christmas
there you
is
go.
Like at my house.
There you go. Every year the same thing over and over and over.
It's a little Groundhog Day. I mean, it's like
there
that.
There you go.
You know, I still haven't worn it out, so why not? I'm
there
getting
you go.
Good at it.
All right. Okay, so, and are you considering a move? Because I am. I'm going to move from Southwest Florida.
I like it. Yeah. Oh, are
I'm
you really? Where are you going?
Yeah, yeah. I'm probably going to go up to Central Florida. I'd like to go
you just
someplace
dropped out
else,
again.
But.
So Pam
oh,
is
okay.
going
Did
to,
you...
what's that? The South Pole?
Central Florida.
Wow, that's quite a move.
No, it's not a very long move, but I'm in a county that's it's a nice county. I mean, it includes Sanibel Island, so I can't really complain too much. But
oh, I've been there. Yeah,
you know,
beautiful.
When you're yeah, it's beautiful there on Sanibel and Captiva.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you can't live there all the time, and because they really close up the cities when it's not tourist season. I don't know. I have an urge to move. I want to go someplace else. I don't know where I'll end up. How about you? Are you getting tired of being a, you know, lazy fisherman on the beach type thing?
Well, yeah, I've been in Cabo now for what, 15 years. So that's a long time to be in a cantina town. So I'm actually thinking about, maybe moving to mainland, to one of the larger cities, see if the cartel violence is as bad as everyone claims.
That's right. You did post that one day that you lived in like one of the top 10 most horrible places to live, or most dangerous places to live, or something like that. I thought that was hysterical.
Actually, yeah, this year, Baja California is probably going to be, if not the most dangerous area in Mexico, probably be in the top, probably two or three, like worse than Ciudad Juarez, worse than pretty much any place else. And it's all related to, you know, El Chapo getting arrested, the head of the Sinaloa cartel got arrested, you know, he got put in jail, and then he escaped, and then they got him again, and that created a power vacuum. So now you've got two cartels competing for the same turf in Baja California, because Baja California, nothing ever happened here. There was literally no violence for 20 years. But
really?
Now, yeah, all the bad guys are shooting each other. And the good news is the only people that are getting, you know, killed are the ones that need killing. But still, mm-hmm. I mean, it sends the stats right through the roof. It's street dealer A taking out street dealer B. It's kind of, you know, boys in the hood in the late 80s, early 90s in L.A., but here.
Right.
So, but it's starting to calm down now. I'm pretty sure, you know, somebody is winning that battle. Or at least they're reloading. So, you know, you take it one day at a time.
So, if you weren't living in Mexico, where would you live?
Boy, that's a tough one. I love Australia, but the tax rate is just through the roof, so that wouldn't work out too well.
It is
I
not
love
a real,
Australia.
You know, it's not a really business-friendly place, and I don't hear a lot of people making tons of money down there. Although, if you're an author,
G'day.
You know, that has nothing to do with anything. You're right.
G'day. Yeah, but, I mean, the problem is that... Go ahead.
No, I'm listening to you. You're the expert
on
everything.
The problem with Australia is that, you know, if you're a resident there, they tax you on your worldwide income. So, you know, if you're making a few shekels here and a few shekels there, you're going to be paying out, you know, 40% of it, 45%, something like that. I mean, it's kind of crazy high.
Right.
So I prefer visiting Australia for a few weeks at a time. Like, that's a better deal. Loading up on Shiraz and eating and then getting out. But I really, you know, I like Mexico. I think, after 15 years, I speak just enough of the language so that, you know, people don't look at me with too much shock or chagrin. And, you know, if I had to move someplace else, maybe Argentina. I really like Argentina. It's gorgeous.
Well, you like the wine from Argentina, too.
Oh, yeah. No, that's one of the primary movements.
And the beef.
And the beef. It's some of the best steak I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
So the dining
I
is magnificent.
Like I
mean, the wine is off the hook good. It's a relaxed sort of Latin pace. It's naturally beautiful. Yeah, they've got trout fishing and all kinds of outdoorsy things if you like that sort of thing, which clearly, you know, I'm all about mountain climbing and zip lining and all of that. So that would probably be a pretty good second choice. If you haven't been there, if you get the urge to start traveling, I would absolutely go to Mendoza in Argentina and Buenos Aires and check it out. Just hang out for a couple of weeks and take a look at what's going on.
How do you think that the situation in Venezuela and Brazil will they change Argentina at all? Far
no,
away,
no, Argentina has really no, they don't have any, I mean, they have a lot of commerce with Brazil, but the Brazilian thing, you know, those regions are used to having big economic crises, you know, every 15, 20 years.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, the zombie apocalypse. Everybody's been through it multiple times. So nobody trusts the government. Everybody just assumes that, you know, that the politicians are robbing everyone blind. So, you know, there's a thriving sort of black market. You keep your money out of the official system, and you're just waiting for the next crash, basically.
Right, so North America and South America are pretty much simpatico in that regard, right?
We
understand each other.
Yeah, I've learned the hard way. Venezuela is a nightmare, though. I mean, that's –
Yeah,
that's just crazy. That's Weimar Republic hyperinflation now. So good old central planning.
There you go. How about that? So tell me what else is new. Tell me what you've heard that's good.
Wow. Well, I, you know, there's, the truth is that I spend so much time writing. I don't get out much, so I don't hear nearly as many juicy stories as maybe I should. But, you know, I'm looking at next year. I'm going to absolutely slow down this time. I am going to.
Yeah.
You know, I really am, though. I've got other projects I've got to deal with, too. So, I'll probably put out five to six books.
Oh, geez. You know, most authors struggle to get a book out, two max. And you're thinking, oh, maybe I'll just do five or six instead.
Well,
so
if you write the same book
kind of...
over and over and over, you get pretty good at it.
There you go. Just give it a different name, put a different cover on it. You're fine.
Yeah, you know, change characters, and there you go.
There you go.
Boom.
So let me ask you this, since we're talking about over and over, how many Jet books are out right now?
Ooh, 11 in the main series and then two prequels, so 13?
13.
Now, probably
put
out...
You've got Jet in Kindle Worlds, don't you?
Oh, yeah, no, I've got Jet in the Kindle Worlds, and there's probably another 20 or 25 Kindle Worlds novellas and a few... novels that have been penned in that world, so that's done pretty well, and the authors seem happy, so life is good. But Jets, you know, that's an enduring character. People just, you
it
know,
is.
They never seem to get enough. So thank
amazing
God.
Thing. You know,
my
yeah,
bartender
no, that's...
is depending on that. I think he's buying a
absolutely
house based on Jet.
There you go. No, it really is just kind of, you know, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
I tell me about it.
But you ended Assassins, didn't you?
Yeah, I wound down the Assassin series. And, you know, frankly, readers are very – you can never second-guess them. I mean, there are some people for whom the Assassin books are absolutely the best thing I've ever done. And then others, you know, are like, yeah, it's, you know, it was okay, but I really like Jet. And then there's others that think Black is the best thing I've ever done. Others, you know, love the Day After Never series. And then Ramsey's, I mean, I got to tell you, that latest one, The Goddess Legacy, that I released in September.
I love that.
I really think that's one of my best books. I mean, it's...
I do, too. I love that book. I like caper books, though, and I think those are some of the most fun caper books I've ever read. So
thank
I like
you
those books very, very much. Yeah,
I mean, those,
a lot of fun.
I love, you know, those sort of adventure capers, and you know, I just, that one just hits the ground running and takes off like a race train and doesn't stop. So a race train. What would that look like?
It's okay. I can't know that.
You need parallel tracks, I guess.
You do. I guess so.
Like an algebra problem. One train, New York.
Good God. No. Don't go there. So Black is still...
Aren't you also threatening to, like, you know, go down to the Caribbean? Or, I mean, aren't you going to go walk about at some point?
I was going to go, you know, I figured I'd go down there, but I discovered that, you know, the area that my brother has a place in Jamaica, in Ochi there, it's lovely. It really is in Ochiria. So I know you're familiar with the area. But you can't really go too far outside of Ochi without taking your life in your hands. And since the island's so small, that means I'm confined to probably the size of the city that I live in right now. And while it's nice, it's right on the water, it's beachfront, and I would love it. It would get claustrophobic to me after a while. So, no, I think the next big trip that I take where I go and stay for any length of time, no, truthfully, I wouldn't mind going to Seattle. I have a real interest in Seattle, but I also have an interest in going to the Netherlands. I really want to go to the Netherlands.
Those are two spots that don't come up very much. Like when you ask people, where would you like to go? The Netherlands and Seattle don't rank in the top 10.
Isn't that crazy? I know that. And maybe that's why it interests me. But I tell you what fascinates me about Seattle. It is a hub for all things publishing, obviously, with Amazon being up there. Everybody I know who's been up there loves it. They think it's a great town. That whole Pacific Northwest area rings a lot of people's bells. I've not ever been through there at all. So okay. I don't know if I'd like it if I'd like it to move, but I sure would like to go and visit. I'd like to spend some time there. The Netherlands, on the other hand, I'll tell you what fascinates me about that is that they are real big on education for everyone there. Everybody goes to university. They have a lot of smart people living in the Netherlands. I like that a lot because I live in a pretty dumb county. You know, I just was listening to, it's really sad, but I was listening to the local NPR station, and they were talking about how, you know, it's an undereducated area. The five counties surrounding me, including the county I'm in, are a very undereducated area. So, you know, for someone who reads books all the time, and I'm not an intellectual by anybody's standards, it's just that, you know, I'm not worried.
Well,
if
you
I'm
haven't hung out with my crowd. Trust me. you would be like in the top three.
Well, I don't know about that, but you know, the big thing here is, are we going to get a flagpole and stick the Confederate flag on the back of the truck and go, you know, riding around, woohoo, downtown? So,
okay.
You know, it scares me, that kind of stuff. There's however. The one thing this county that I live in does have is probably the best library system of any place in Florida. They are exceptionally great. They put a lot of money into their library system. It's a digital library as well. They hold a big author event every March, the Southwest Readers Fest, that is open to everybody, and probably everybody in the county goes who actually knows how to read anyway.
So
bring in a lot of great authors. Yeah, so
it's
a lot
of
fun.
Reader
I like
heaven is what you're saying.
I'm sorry, say it again.
It's reader heaven.
It is reader heaven. For me, it is. I mean, you know, I like going to conferences and I like meeting the authors that I speak to all the time. You know, having done this for 5 years and 1,000 author interviews, I've become friends with a lot of these people. So yeah, if you're a really big reader the way I am, I know you're a big reader too. You know, I like going and hearing what authors have to say. I like going
and
you
know what?
Meeting
I've never done one of those. I've never done a conference.
I know you haven't.
I've never even gone to one just to walk around.
It's hard to get your fanny out off that treadmill, though. That's the problem. You know, you're on the treadmill riding all the time.
Well, hopefully
or,
the
you know,
extradition order won't go through because that's I'm banking on that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be grabbed
well,
at the
know,
airport.
Well, you could always bypass all that and go to BoucherCon in Toronto this year, which should be interesting. It is not a destination city
you
like New
out.
Orleans was last year. Oh, okay.
Toronto.
Well, am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
So you have to have your you know, your jokes ready for when I'm gone for a second there. But Toronto BoucherCon is going to be a good one. It's not a destination city the way New Orleans was last year, which I did not go to. But so I'm interested in the following year to be here at St. Pete, just a little bit north of where I live. So
sure.
But you know, do you want to mingle with your colleagues, your writer colleagues? You're friends with plenty of writers.
Yeah, I am, and it's funny because you know I've had a few authors actually come down to Cabo in the last year, and I've met with them, and we've had delightful times. So it's not really so much that you know that I don't want to mingle. It's more that truthfully, I'm just writing all the time. So
right.
It's kind of like okay,
well,
I can do
know.
That, or I can continue writing. So I tend to I'm pretty
well,
poor.
It's a client happy hours. It's a happy hour for 5 days, is what it is.
Oh yeah,
because
I don't have enough of those.
Right. You know, since you rarely touch alcohol.
No, tut tut. Temperance is my middle name.
There you go. Yeah, right.
So yeah, no,
well,
get me
true.
Together with a bunch of other authors. Boy, yeah, that sounds like a trip to the ER at around day number three.
I'm telling you. Yeah,
and some x-rays.
Yeah.
What is that? Never
right.
mind.
Yeah, it's really interesting because at one of the conferences, I remember watching the man who was, I guess, like the restaurant and bar manager. He was standing kind of up on a riser, and he was looking out into this sea of people, of authors, men and women, and it was loud and boisterous and laughing, and, you know, of course, everyone's hammered. And he had a big grin on his face, and I said, it's an interesting thing to see, isn't it? And he says, you know, I always thought writers were real quiet. He said, you get the impression that writers are real quiet. And I said, they are by themselves. And I said, because, you know, by the nature of their work, they're quiet. And
sure,
I said,
they're living in their
head. All bets are right. That's where the noise is. But all bets are off when they get together. And
so
he just said,
this priest and a rabbi walk into a bar.
Am I gone again?
Pam?
Yes,
Pam?
Am I gone again? Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me yet?
Yeah, no, you're back.
Are
now.
You there? Oh, good. Okay.
Is that
I
the NSA?
Have
you
not...
done something that we need to know about?
Well, I talk to you every few months. You know, I mean, we talk to each other all the time. Is that a problem?
Well, I don't know. I don't see any helicopters today, so that's probably positive.
Okay, sure you are. All right. Well, if someone would do me a favor and call in and tell me if they can still hear me, I'd appreciate it. 347-633-9609. Steve Conkley, are you listening? I know you're only staying a few miles from me. If you're listening, please call in and say hi to Russell and me, and if he can still hear me. I'd like a sound check, please, since, you know, all the lackeys are gone.
You're taking the rest of the year off, huh?
Yeah, a whole week off. How about
wow,
that?
Wow, look at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I am. And then I hit the ground running. January is Nasty Women January, female fiction, crime fiction writers. And I am booked back-to-back, side-to-side, up and down, and even days that aren't mine, with female crime fiction writers of all type. Anybody who writes crime fiction or mysteries, they're going to be on the show. All new people, too, people I've never interviewed before.
That
so it'll
sounds
be a lot
fun.
Of fun. It is going to be fun. And
yeah,
you know,
my operation
the guys
won't
are...
be done in time, so I won't be able to be on the show. I mean, I wouldn't be female at that point, so we'll have to wait.
That's why, you know, that's why you're my last guest of the year, Russell.
Oh,
so that
I think
we can
I
take
know
advantage
why.
Now.
I think I know why. I don't
Stop
think anyone's confused about that one. See, Pam normally, most people don't know this, Pam normally records this, it goes out live and then records it, and she doesn't use a time delay with any of the other guests. With me, she's got this button.
That's right. We've got the kill switch.
You're like the neighbor with the meth habit with his finger on on the button, like, ah!
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. No, it's going to be a fun month. And then, you know, lots of really interesting, really cool people are coming back and are coming to the show. So I'm really excited about that. And a lot of good books coming out, too. So I'm waiting for yours. I'm waiting for Jeff Deaver's. I've already read Michael Conley's book. There's tons
Deaver.
Of really great books. Oh, God, he's great.
I love Jeffrey Deaver.
He's great.
Phenomenal
yeah.
talent. I think I've actually listened
God.
To him on your show, as a matter of fact. I think I went back
yep.
through your archives or whatever and listened to him. It was an interesting interview. Yep. His process is very similar.
Yeah, he is a big outliner. I'll tell you who else is David Morrell, who is the creator of Rambo, and who has just finished up a brilliant historical Victorian thriller set. Just amazing. And he is a copious outliner as well as research. I mean, it took him probably 3 years of research before he actually wrote
really?
The first book in his series. Yeah.
Well, see,
that tells
you right there. The secret to writing a lot of books is just make it all up. Just, you know, don't research anything, because otherwise, you know, it
there
can really
you go.
Be time-consuming.
Not that he was writing all the whole time. He wasn't writing those particular books, but he, you know, had a research assistant who was helping coordinate all the information he found. But he finds
uh-huh.
the research part of it just as fascinating as writing and telling the story. So
I wonder
if I can
write that into my tax deductions. She was a research assistant. Okay.
What was she
wow.
researching though?
I had no idea that job paid so well. Tell me about it.
She was
researching exotic sports cars and trips to Hawaii.
There you go. So, too funny. So, yeah, but in the same, you know, I want to go back, you were talking about outlining. I have a lot of authors who tell me that they start off outlining, and then after a while they find they don't need it. It's kind of like a built-in mechanism for them, which I think is interesting that their brain outlines it for them. You see, Russell, something's happened. Your brain is wired differently. That's all there is to it.
No, it's true.
If you're
going
to outline.
Yeah, I mean, I can do it. I've done it that way. I've done it, you know, every way you can imagine. I've written a book, but the problem I have is just time, just efficiency. It's way more efficient from a time standpoint for me to outline and then follow the outline. It's just the writing part, you know, flies. I'll do 6,000-7,000 words a day in a 10-12 hour writing day if I've outlined. If I haven't outlined, I mean, you know, if I get a couple of thousand, I'm lucky. So that's a significant difference. So when you're talking about, you know, putting out more than one or two books a year, you better have a system that you know, runs like clockwork, because otherwise you're going to spend a lot of time sort of flailing, wondering where the next chapter is going to come from. But I've done it all the different ways, and sure. I mean, if I was – you know, I wonder what – did you ever interview James Lee Burke?
I did. He's an interesting character.
Did you ask him about outlining or not? Because I love his work.
I did.
So
you know, I don't
remember
because he told me so funny. I don't remember. I'll find the podcast and listen to it. He told me so many funny stories that it was hard. He just is such an interesting fellow. And, you know, his daughter also writes beautifully, Al Ferris.
Yes.
She does wonderful work. So are you there? Did you drop the phone? Okay.
No. I just adjusted my headset. It was sliding back.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah, so but he was very, very interesting. But he was hysterically funny. He told some great stories. So I don't remember asking him if he outlined or not. You know, sometimes, like with Craig Johnson, who writes Longmire, you say hello, how are you, and that's all you have to say as the interviewer. And the person just takes off. That author just takes off. And it's kind of nice sometimes when that happens for me, because then I don't have to think quite as hard. You know, it hurts
for
me to think of all these questions.
I think this is where you dropped out again. If you listen to our earlier podcast, I mean, I was like that. I just feel like I'm being rude. I'm just talking nonstop for an hour. So who the hell wants
to listen
to that?
That's okay. You can keep talking. Can you hear me yet?
Yeah, no, I can hear you now. I can hear you.
Okay. I feel like a commercial, you know? Can you hear me now?
Well, yeah. Is it your internet connection maybe a little flaky over there in Florida?
In Florida. Yeah, it might be Florida. It might be funky, that's true. Florida, That's
Florida.
What I say. Craig Johnson was real good. Those are ones that I don't have to think about because I hate asking the same questions over and over again. So Craig just kind of, you wind him up and he goes, and that was it. You just let him go. And and James Lee Burke was a little bit like that. He told some really interesting stories. Clive Cussler, when I interviewed him, was like that. I had a good time interviewing him.
Very funny too.
He really is, and he's got some great stories. Just down-to-earth guy, you know. So I really appreciated that. From an interview standpoint, that's really nice. It makes it so easy. Nelson DeMille, super nice guy. I always ask how the author wants to be addressed. I didn't ask you, but, you know, before the show, I always say, how do you want me to address you?
Well, I like to use a royal we, if at all possible.
Well, I say that, too. And I say, you know, King Nelson, and he said, yes, you can call me Lord Nelson. That my mother named me after, you know, some, and he told me who it was, and I said, okay. So during the interview, I called him Lord Nelson. He got a big kick out of that.
You can call me Emperor Russell.
Okay, I could do that, but I probably won't.
That just conjures up an image of a, like, sort of a portly-looking penguin with a tequila bottle, so that, I don't know, maybe leave out the Emperor. Well, I'll think of something else.
Okay.
Maybe. Sultan!
Okay. Sultan
of Shmooze.
There you go.
Well, I'm glad to hear that your health issues are all back together. You're in.
They got me better.
They can do wonders with bionics. I think they had a TV show about that a while ago.
They did. Yes.
I'm just hoping that they
had. The hips are working fine now. I have one functioning kidney and one that doesn't, but that's okay. I'm still working fine.
That's been me for years.
Yeah,
don't worry about
that. No, not the liver, honey, the kidney.
Oh, I get those confused.
Right. You only need one.
Well, there's a price difference on them in India. That's all I know.
I know there is. There's a, you know, you can go and get one on any street corner.
For a book.
But I had my neck sliced open to have another one. So I have another surgery, but I'm fine. I actually feel better than I felt in ages, so it's all good. It's all
great. I'm glad to hear that. You sound like you're on the top of your game.
Thanks. I appreciate that, Russell. Well, listen, you know, we've chatted by ourselves. Nobody wanted to talk to us. I think they were afraid.
Oh, I don't blame
them.
Well, it's almost Christmas Eve. I imagine people are out having a little party time right now.
They might be. Last day of work. They're also probably shopping, too. So,
everyone, I don't get them anything, and nobody expects anything from me but lies and disappointment. So, it's
and a book
my
every
schedule's
six
pretty
weeks.
Wide open. We could go for 4 hours. You aren't
there. You go. Well, listen, to everybody who's listening, the three of you, I want to tell you happy Christmas and happy Hanukkah and happy New Year. I'm here. Did I leave again?
I just spout occasionally, like I have Tourette's. It's fine. Ignore it.
I'm going to.
Just edit it out on replay.
No, it's okay. I'm not editing anything. We only have three listeners anyway, so it's fine. Merry Christmas, Russell. And I'm really glad that you came on as my last guest of the year. And I guess we'll do this again in a couple months, like we usually do, okay?
Yeah, let's do it March, April, something like that, or April, May, something like that.
That sounds good. Yeah, when something new and exciting is happening, new book, you know, we got $10 goes a long way to pimp your book, so I'm counting on it.
I'm glad that we got Fiverr out of the middle of that, though. They were really cutting into the income stream there.
I'm telling you. Well, you and the boys have a nice Christmas and have fun traveling. Tell our friend I said hello. And I'll talk to you in the new year, okay?
All right. Thanks, Pam. It's always a joy to be on. And to everybody that's listening, ho, 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 and Merry Christmas.
Buy my stuff.
And buy
my stuff.
There you go.
Bye, Russell.
Not
have a good one,
part.
My friend.
All
there
right.
You go. Bye.
Take care of yourself.
You too. Bye-bye. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, everybody. I could not do this without you. Thank you. And thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.